We at Fireside Mystery Theater do not feel we must limit ourselves to Women's History Month to honor women and their contributions to society. That kind of celebration can happen year-round. And FMT is actively working with a coven of witches to fill catcallers' mouths with bees, to enchant the underwire of brassieres to make them 90% less stabby. Oh, and for equal rights too, I guess, but that is taking significantly longer. So, while we all await equality, sit back, relax, and enjoy a little bit of murder. Yes, that's right. Fireside Mystery Theater is proud to share with you our very first true crime series. She's a killer queen. Our next tale takes us to the court of the Sun King. So, have your servants prepare your gasping handkerchiefs, place your pearls within clutching vicinity, and get ready to make the acquaintance of a most cunning swordsmith. La Maupin, Mistress of the Sword, was taped live in New York City on February 23rd, 2020.
Pardonnez-moi, mesdames et messieurs, rise and give honor to him, your lord, your leader, your sun king. Presenting to the court, his most royal highness, Louis the 14th.
My most loyal subjects, be seated. How it pleases me to be with you, to look upon you here in my court. What life, what love, what beauty. Is there any other king in this world so dearly blessed, Monsieur Bonton?
No, I think not, Your Highness. For the sun shines with special favor upon its favorite son, the Sun King.
And I accept these blessings most humbly, most graciously, as I accept all of your love and loyalty to me, my dear ones. Well, well, Bonton, do not keep me waiting. Tell me, which of my subjects am I to hear out today? I understand the list of those who would be pardoned grows exponentially by the day.
By the hour, by the minute, Highness. It is most upsetting to me, I confess, to think of your people taking such liberties with your royal proclamations. These laws we put in place to protect them from themselves, those which you have seen fit to make doctrine in our land. And since they come and beg the pardon of your highness, when it is your edicts they have so flagrantly ignored.
It is an audacity reserved for the lower classes, Bonton, that it moves a great king to forgive from time to time, looking down from our place of holy right and virtue. As my valet, the premier valet de la Chambre de Roy, surely you see how royal mercy and clemency may inspire a certain godliness even in the peasants themselves.
Indeed, indeed, my liege.
And particularly in those whose stories are most, most entertaining, do you not think? And on that note, who have we on the docket today? Are there any who would put a plea in before their king?
Oui, Majesty. We have but one today. Yet this one comes to you bearing the offenses of many. One reckless deed after the next, resulting in injury and even death, and quite in the face of your majesty's laws against such behavior. Indeed, a list of crimes such as this I would expect to see spread across several convicts, not just a solitary offender.
Ah, intrigue. Intrigue already, Bonton. Delay no further. Bring him forth.
Silence! Silence! Present yourself prisoner and throw yourself upon the mercy of your king. Lo, fortunate one you are that he will hear your pleas for clemency. whether you deserve such grace or no.
That shall do, bon ton. Yeah. You there, approach. Why, this is but a boy, a lad. He has the looks of one of my pages. Surely le petit garçon is not to blame for all of this trouble.
I'm no young boy, your highness. Though my dress may suggest otherwise, underneath this thin layer of fabric, I am all woman, une fille, une dame, in fact.
Merde. It is indeed a lady, but in these dressings disguised as a young man. This vulgarity is beyond my limit.
Now, mon ton, let us not be hasty. What is your name, mademoiselle?
Your highness, I carry the name of Mademoiselle Julie d'Aubigny de Maupin, though if you please, I prefer simply La Maupin. And, sir, do not mistake me. Though I wear this masculine garb, I am woman all and through. None who know me would claim otherwise. None who have known me could.
My liege, a thousand apologies. I had no idea. Guards, take her away at once.
Bon ton. Though we are aging, we were young once, and recall all too well the lusty passions of ardent youth. Their mouths and judgments oft run off without their senses, but also most often do they return with a pleasing tale. I would hear this one. Le Maupin! Charming, charming. So brief and yet so mysterious. But this name, Julie d'Aubigny, a great king must never forget a name, and this surely is one I've heard before.
You are, of course, quite correct, Highness. Before I became the woman you see before you now, I was a girl raised here in your court.
So I might have guessed, my girl. And what brings you here? Prisoner. Under arrest for duels. A most inauspicious return.
That is a story for the recounting, Highness, if you would hear it.
I would hear it, indeed. I would hear it all before deciding the fate to befall you. One from my very own court. Let me hear your plea for innocence.
Nay, Highness, I do not plead innocence. I am guilty. Guilty as sin.
The audacity! Your Highness, shall I escort this impertinent criminal away? Already, you see, she confesses.
Absolutely not, bon ton. No, now especially, I must hear your tale, Mademoiselle Maupin. For I find in my experience that those who would readily confess their sins are those most worthy of redemption.
Very well, Highness. As you say, my maiden name is not unfamiliar to your court. My father, Gaston d'Aubigny, was a fencing master and trainer to your royal pages in my youth.
Ah, Gaston d'Aubigny, yes, of course. There is a name I have not heard for years. Since his passing, I believe.
Indeed, Highness. It may be harsh and cold to say of my own father, but I miss the man not a whit. Though I suppose I do owe him some small thanks for introducing me to the sword. My father knew nothing of raising a young woman. In fact, the only women he knew anything of at all, truly, were the prostitutes in the taverns and the mares in the stables. I do not mean he was a bad man, but neither was he good. He was human, and he kept me fed and alive, and that was mostly enough.
Whoa! Whoa there, girl! I said whoa! Whoa, you filthy beast! In there! Get in the stable now! In!
Papa, why did you hurt Mariano? Did she misbehave?
Aye, Julie. The horse hurt itself with its willful behavior. Now you see, this mare should know better than to go against man. They may have size and strength, but a man will defeat and break a mare any day, Julie. No contest. You'd best to remember that.
Yes, Papa.
Come, let me look at you, girl. Oh, you're not a girl much longer, in truth. I have seen the way the page boys make eyes at you as you pass.
I do not like any of those boys, Papa.
Aye, but they won't mind one way or the other what you like or don't when their blood is hot. And I won't always be so close around. Besides, it is not just a boy who should be able to defend himself. Here, my Julie, take this.
Papa, no! You've told me time and again that to handle another sword is akin to stealing his soul.
That is right, Julie, and you would do well to remember it. You are my daughter. I am entrusting you with this sword, and so my soul may live on in you, and may both sword and soul that I bequeath unto you protect you when I cannot. It is high time you learned my trade instead of standing idly by. I will never be able to do much for you, girl. I am not wealthy or of great name or title or rank. But with a sword held masterfully in hand, you may stand on your own without any of those things. And that, my Julie, that I can give you. Hungar!
And teach me he did. As stingy as Papa may have been with his affection, he lavished me in loving lessons with the foil. I continued to study even after I was married to Monsieur Sierre de Maupin, a local clerk whose name you see I carry still, though it was not long after we said our vows that we also said goodbye.
Ah, so a widow you became then, and so young.
That would explain the foul temper and bizarre dress, I suppose.
No, Your Highness, no widow am I. It was me, not he, who said goodbye. You see, I soon surpassed Papa in fencing skill and began to study under a master swordsman by the name of Seren, and yes, study under him I did, indeed.
Oh, dear! This girl, she was a shame.
No wonder she handles a man's sword so deftly. Plenty of practice. Perhaps I should ask her for a lesson or two, no?
We ran away, the two of us, to Marseille, where I began the practice of dressing regularly in my lover's masculine garb. Yes, it was romantic, but practical as well, as it saved money and, on many rough and rowdy occasions, my life. And all the while, I worked to support us the two ways I knew how, with sword and with song. And both, of course, turned out to be deadly weapons indeed.
Can you imagine what rough and rowdy occasions lie ahead for La Maupin and her most deadly weapons? Will King Louis pardon her past offenses? Find out just how far a gal can go with only a sword and a song. But first, let's talk Audible. I am a lover of the Audible and a longtime subscriber. We like to think that Fireside Mystery Theater is a fabulous means of escape from the endless news cycle during this frightening time we are currently living in. But talk about escape. With Audible, you could be listening for more than 3 centuries if you listen to each of their thousands of titles back to back. They are, without a doubt, the leading provider of audiobooks and spoken word entertainment. But Audible has so much more than just audiobooks. They've got a treasure trove of podcasts, guided wellness programs, theatrical performances, A-list comedy, and exclusive Audible originals that you can't find anywhere else. Just like your trusty Fireside Mystery Theater, Audible is a perfect way to allow your tired brain a respite from these troubling times. Times that feel like they've slowed down and sped up all at once. You can catch up with those classics you've always meant to read, allow yourself some guided meditation and self-reflection, or just slip into a trance with the theater of the mind. Members get a credit every month for any title, plus 2 Audible originals from a curated monthly collection, and access to daily news digests from trusted sources, including the New York Times, the Washington Post, and others. And actually, right now, members can listen to all 8 Audible originals on offer for this month of April. Listen to Audible titles offline, online, anytime, anywhere, and across any device. I recently binged Catch and Kill by Ronan Farrow and She Said by Jodie Cantor and Megan Toohey. Whew, both titles were thrilling, fascinating, rage-inducing exposés. True masterpieces of investigative journalism. Journalism which, now more than ever, is so important to preserve, support, and protect. I also suggest Crooked House by our beloved Agatha Christie, the BBC audio drama version dramatized with a full cast including Anna Maxwell-Martin and Rory Kinnear, 2 of my favorite actors in one of Agatha's best mysteries and a personal favorite of hers, with an ending that will shock the socks off of you. Go on and give yourself the delight of a free trial. Visit audible.com/fireside or text fireside to 500-500. Again, that's audible.com/FIRESIDE or text Fireside to 500500. Now, my friends, back to our own escape with La Maupin, Mistress of the Sword.
We set out on a life of lusty adventure, my lover and I. In the ballrooms and taverns, I dazzled the men with my singing and my swordplay. Swashbuckling theatrics, usually, though on occasion the play fighting took a turn for the bona fide. For instance, there was the Marquis who made the mistake of trying to catch my attention mid-routine. Word to the wise, never interrupt a swordswoman in the heat of battle, even imaginary. There was the son of a local duchy who thought it would be amusing to slap my behind with his dueling glove. Needless to say, I accepted his challenge and took his glove.
My hand! My hand!
He'll only need one from now on anyway. And so it was, town to town, on and on. Generally, I always performed wearing men's clothing, though I made no efforts to hide my womanhood. Once, in fact, when a man remarked that I was so skilled with the sword that I must be a man after all, I deftly unsheathed my blade, slid open my shirt, and revealed to the room my greatest weapon of all. Well, both of them, actually.
Sacre bleu!
There were no more challenges to my womanhood after that, though there were challenges aplenty otherwise. I eventually left my sweet, sad swordsman Seren in pursuit of greener pastures. Younger and greener, I mean. And, well, let us just say my new love's parents, they did not approve of the match for their one and only daughter.
Maupin! Oh, my Maupin! You know you cannot be here. If my father were to catch you in my chambers, the risks you take for me... How I love you, my Maupin.
And I love you, my sweet young thing, the shining golden dove to my raven, the sun ray to my cloud. Oh, my fair, radiant princess of Marseille.
You and your silly pet named Maupin.
Yes, for you are my silly, silly little pet. In truth, I never could quite remember her name. Though I will never forget my time with her, she who I now call simply La Blonde. Upon our initial meeting, she, I believe, mistook me for a man like so many others, though once the truth of my sex was revealed, never once did she balk.
Maupin, oh, what news I have. It's terrible, terrible.
Oh, calm yourself, Dove. Maupin is here. All is well.
No, Father is so angry. He knows of us. He found your letters, and now, oh, now he sends me away, love, away to the convent. Never shall we see each other again, love, never.
Shh, shh, shh. Have you so little faith in me, love? Do you not believe even now I would cross all boundaries? I would walk through fire for you.
Oh, dear one, you will come for me, you promise. Do not leave me alone in there, please. I cannot live without you.
Fear not, child. Your parents' scheme shall unfold and unfurl so unexpectedly as to catch them off guard and show them for the fools they are. A foolish plan it was of her parents' making, too. For being a woman, I could go where others would and could not follow. Into the convent myself, for instance. It made for a tidy little love nest for a bit, but soon it was suffocating, tiny. Luckily, fate intervened to orchestrate our escape.
My Maupin? Darling, please, what is going on? Is that a fire? Oh, my, a fire! A fire!
Yes, a fire, indeed, a fire, and our savior tonight! Let there be light! Look, the fire she brings, both destruction and beauty when we bring her to life. See how she dances, for I set her free.
You set this fire. What are you thinking?
Of the plan, I'm thinking of the plan. Now up, up, and turn down the covers.
What is that you're carrying over your shoulder? Oh, God! What is that smell?
What? No, not what. You're on the right path, but oh, you asked the wrong questions. See for yourself.
Is that... No. Who is that? Is that... Oh, Mother Superior! Oh, no! Dear, sweet lady! You killed her!
But of course not, love.
I do not believe you. Let me see your sword. Surely it is stained with innocent blood. Oh, Mona! Love!
Look what you've made me do. Forcing me to hurt you, to beat you to your senses. Who are you with your accusations and pawing at my sword? My sword, when I have told you never to touch my sword! My little one. Listen, the Mother Superior was already dead when I found her. I simply took her lifeless body to put in your place for our escape. Now up, my dear, and help me put her body in your bed. There. Now we can run away together forever.
Forever, my Maupin?
Forever, ma petite. Just you and me. And run away together forever we did, at last. At least, it felt like forever. In reality, forever did not last as long as I thought it might. 3 months, to be precise. Ah, oh, but never will I forget the maiden blush of her cheek while she watched me ride away as I abandoned her at that country inn. Magnificent. A work of art, she was. Full worth every penny spent, every man challenged and bested on her behalf. Later on, I heard the blonde was sent back to the convent, rather in shame that she was an outcast, even for a nun. Alas, what a lesson for her. I trust you may have profited by it. From Marseille, I traveled on, making my way toward Paris again, sword swinging and singing for my bread. It was in Poitiers where I met the binding link in the chain that now holds me here before you, Majesty.
Get out already, you filthy beast! You sure changed me for the last time. Promises, promises, and then never pay up for your tab. It isn't just those disgusting rags you wear. Your words stink to high heaven, too.
Ah, amazing you can smell anything at all over the stink of your ballroom, wench.
Oh, if my establishment so offends your delicate sensibilities, then stay out.
Oh, I don't need you. I don't need anyone. I don't need...
Watch where you're landing, old man. I nearly ran you through with my sword, and on accident this time, no less. Imagine denying me the pleasure of deciding to stab you myself.
Funny one. She wolf dressed in sheep's trousers, mistaking another for a man. So much for takes one to know one. So who would want to know one?
My mistake indeed, madam.
You are the lass who dresses as a lad, a young, handsome lad. And your clothes have not yet lost their sheen as mine did long ago. You sing and swashbuckle in the bars, no?
Aye, guilty. You caught my operatic fencing act, then.
Caught it? I was mesmerized. You have got it, my dear. That elusive it, your skill with this sword. It is a real sword, is it not? Let me see.
Touch my blade and prepare to touch the face of God, or the devil, as may well be in your case.
Careful, it is real indeed. I see as real as this bit of blood you've drawn from my hand. Ow.
You wanted assurance of authenticity, there you have it.
No need to take offense. I simply wondered if your bite was as sharp as your bark. Many showmen accent their performances with weaponry, but few know how to truly brandish anything beyond the brandy.
You'll forgive me for not forgiving your trespass. I learned long ago that to touch another's sword is the highest of insults. particularly from one as low as you.
Your sword is top-notch, to be sure. And your voice is... well, it is not unpleasant. But your charisma... you belong on the stage in Paris, not living life as a vagabond.
Life in the spotlight. And just how am I supposed to find my way to stardom, eh?
In 4-5 years, you could be the most beloved singer in Paris. I should know. I was once among their ranks myself. Let me teach you. All I ask is a floor to sleep on at night and a pot or two of wine a night. And feel free to get the pot for yourself, of course. I hate to drink alone.
And so that is how I came to be under the tutelage of Marichal. Marichal was truly a great teacher, despite appearances. She knew the ins and outs of the stage, the intricacies of the Paris opera.
Again! Do it again! Again, girl! How do you expect to reach Paris croaking along like that? Again!
She had been a great beauty and performer in her day, but time and wine had not been kind to her. What she taught me, though, was a true revelation.
Your voice does not live in your throat. It lives in your soul. The throat, the mouth, that is just the door. Set it free. Throw the doors wide open. Not only will your soul fly free, you can draw in other souls as well. Such power. Such power.
She was right, it seemed. The art of performance was indeed strong within me, no less so the passion. We trained together for a time until, alas, Marichal's time ran out.
Go, girl, and live the life you were born for. The one I never got. You are destined for greatness, for infamy!
I shall never forget her last words to me.
Go on, leave! Leave me with a little dignity and lots of wine and just leave! Out! Out! Do you not listen? I said out!
I can only assume that bottle she threw at me was empty. She never would have wanted to hurt me, really, nor would she have wasted a drop of wine, not even on a dramatic gesture. How I loved her. How I miss her. I was back on the road again, and it was on the path here to Paris where the incident took place that led us to this fateful meeting. What I did in the name of freedom, of honor, and yes, perhaps for pride, but I would rather die with pride than live with the shame of being ridiculed by a pitiful, small, inconsequential man like the one I ran down. I just finished a performance at a local alehouse, a song and sword bit, but of course. After, as always, I kept my sword and my wits about me, for my act has been known to incite the odd scuffle. Little men who need to feel big and only can through small-minded acts of violence. I can usually hold my own as well as my temper, but that night something got the better of me.
Hey! Hey! Little birdie! Cheep, cheep! Say sweet hey! Such a sweet song.
He was drunk. He was harmless. He was thoroughly obnoxious.
I see right through those trousers you wear, little bird. Or at least I can imagine what's beneath. No man at all. You're a pretty, pretty little birdie.
He was a flea, a tiny thorn in my side, an irritating prick.
Joseph! There you are. Come along now. Leave this lady... let's just leave it alone.
Your friend has the right idea, Joseph. Are you bright enough to listen?
But look at the ostrich, Albert. Did you not hear the birdie sing in the bar? Have you ever heard an ostrich sing before? What a voice!
Pardon us, truly. Joseph, you're making a fool of yourself and of me for being here with you. Come along now. Your father's waiting for you, and he's none too pleased with your behavior.
Now we're just having a good time. That's all. Just a good time. Right, Birdie? Come, sing a song for us again. Or better yet, spread your wings and let us see that wingspan. Come to me, pretty birdie.
His hands, small, clammy, wriggly rodents on my skin as he grasped at me. Everything began to go red as in a fog. All I could see was rage. All I could feel was cold steel in my hand.
Joseph, really, Joseph, it's time to get home now, Joseph.
Tell me, pretty bird. I've listened to your chirping, but now tell me of your plumage.
I recall his hand grasping mine, the one not grasping my sword. He was weak, flimsy. I easily could have thrown him off, but I did not want to. Instead, I laughed. Laughed right along with him.
We ought to go now. Joseph, we ought to go.
Suddenly, his hand was on my sword. His hand on my sword.
Come! I'll play with your weapon. You can play with mine!
Before I could even think I had drawn. No, that's wrong. I did think. And quickly, I thought about it all. I saw the whole thing play out in my head. Red. It was beautiful. More beautiful than song. More beautiful than any of my lovers. The beauty of taking life, of holding it in my hand, right on the point of my sword.
No, madam! No, no!
Beautiful.
Help! Murderer! Help! Help! Help!
One already done. Why not two? A second stanza, help. A second help. Verse.
No! No!
I laughed.
No! No!
I drew. Beautiful. I let them come and take me. I am guilty, but I feel no guilt. And here we are, Highness. I'm at your mercy, though again, I must tell you I will not apologize or admit regret, for I feel neither.
Surely, Your Highness, an example must be made. This brazen disregard for the law, for human life, for your word, Your Majesty.
Indeed, an example must be made indeed. Foulon Maupin is an example of a greater calling, a storyteller whose tale strikes true as her sword. Bonton, have the prisoner released.
But, Your Majesty, surely...
Do not question me, Bonton.
No, my liege. Release the prisoner.
I am honored by your mercy, Your Highness.
My clemency does come with a price, Maupin. Your days of freedom and vagabonding are quite done, Mademoiselle. I cannot have you seducing every maiden and cutting down every man in my kingdom. You shall have the life intended for you by your ill-fated trainer. The Paris Opera awaits. There shall you sing at my behest. Though you were free, Maupin, you shall always be beholden to me. Now, away, Mademoiselle Maupin, or as I shall remember you, Mistress of the Sword.
It is a hard price, but a fair one, Your Highness. And we shall see just who belongs to whom. Though it is on your stage, for you I may dance and sing. At night, in your dreams, it shall be you who belongs to La Maupin.
Just like Marie Antoinette, built-in remedy for Khrushchev and Kennedy, and any time an invitation you can decline. Caviar and cigarettes, well-versed in etiquette, extraordinarily nice, she's a killer. Insatiable in appetite, wanna try. To avoid complications, she never kept the same address in conversation. She spoke just like a baroness. Met a man from China, went down to Geisha Manor, and then again, incidentally, if you're not way inclined. Naturally from Paris, for cause she couldn't care less. Fastidious and precise, she's a killer queen.
And that was La Maupin, Mistress of the Sword. The cast featured in this episode include James Reeser as Alexandre Bontemps, James Kleinman as King Louis XIV of France, Casey LaForest as Julie d'Aubigny, a.k.a. La Maupin, James Scully as Gaston d'Aubigny, Rebecca Kopeck as Young Julie and the Innkeeper, Mary Murphy as La Blonde, Eric David Gislason as Joseph, David Linton as Albert, and the part of Maréchal was played by me, Ali Silva. The song Killer Queen by Freddie Mercury was performed by Martina da Silva, accompanied by Nico Slater. La Maupin, Mistress of the Sword, was written by Courtney Gillian-Cholovich and directed by Holly Payne Strange. Our live show and podcast are produced by Gustavo Rodriguez and me for Fireside Mystery Productions. Our musical score was improvised and performed by Nico Slater. Our sound effects design was led by Greg Russ, with Ricardo Delgado, Dan Naglia, and Ali Silva. Live show sound was engineered by Evan Sachs with Ricardo Delgado. Our technical director at the Slipper Room is Johnny Goddard. Our production manager is Liz Leiser. Jason Graves composed our theme music, and I manage our audio post-production. We, the motley crew that makes this Fireside Mystery Theater, dedicate as much as is humanly possible into creating our unique brand of audio entertainment. We do it because we love it, just as so many of you love listening. And this is just the kind of escape into the healing imagination that we need nowadays. We hope that if you are able, you would consider becoming a Patreon patron to throw some kindling onto our fires to help keep our creative loins a-burning. Your contribution through Patreon, $1, $2, $5 or more per month, can provide the vital lifeblood we need to keep doing this thing we do. We will have infinite thanks for you. Plus, we have some rewards that may tickle your fancy. We've got discounts on merch, postcards from Sunken Harbor, audio greetings from cast members, podcast shoutouts, a snazzy Fireside Mystery Theater enamel pin, and exclusive bonus content. And by bonus content, I mean the specially dedicated Patreon playlet. They are extra audio treats from each series that are released only on our exclusive private Patreon feed. Sometimes the playlets are companion pieces to episodes on our regular feed. Sometimes they are touching. Sometimes they are hilarious. but they are always exclusive and special for our patrons at the $5 or more per month level. From the series She's a Killer Queen, we've got a piece called My Name is Fire. If you want to hear FMT go all Game of Thrones, well, this will be a treat. Treat yourself and treat our ongoing endeavors by becoming an FMT Patreon patron today. Go to patreon.com/firesidemysterytheater or follow the link on our website. We are so grateful for any support you can give to help us keep the embers of our fireside flickering. Guess what? Our fireside's a-burning! Why? Because just this week, we are so lucky to have 3 new number one phantoms join our Patreon patron community. Great, big, humongous shout-outs of gratitude go to the stunning Lauren E. Baxley, the sublime Sherry Sadler, and the sensational C. White, who has boosted their support from Trailblazer to number one Phantom. We cannot express just how thrilled we are that you choose to support us, and it is especially meaningful in this time of uncertainty and isolation. We are forever grateful. Your Fireside family is here for you, just as you are there for us. We hope you enjoy our growing trove of exclusive playlets. And darlings, do keep minding those shadows. Do we have you under our spell? Then become a subscriber on your favorite podcast platform. And don't forget to leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts, Podchaser, or wherever your favorite episodes live. Remember live shows? We will do them again. And when we do, we will all appreciate them like never before. Until then, check back for updates at firesidemysterytheater.com. You won't want to miss the second and final installment of The Gruesome Tale of Belle Gunness, coming up next from Fireside Mystery Theater. A life in the opera. A fair punishment for manslaughter? Perhaps. And perhaps you'll think twice before inciting the rage of a helpless maid. The face of an angel may mask the heart of a killer. And do remember, if she draws first, you can always fall back and take cover in the dark, if you know how to mind the shadows.